I'd like you to turn to, just to find the book of Exodus on your in your written text or on your phone. I'll give you further instructions on where to go when we're there, but on your phone, on your tablet, your computer, and your hard copy, there's nothing like reading a hard copy of the Bible so you can make notes in the margin and margins and do all of that. But we're going to be going this morning to the book of Exodus. But today is Super Bowl 54. I said, today is, some of you act like you didn't know that. It's Super Bowl 54 today. Each team, let me give you some fun facts about the Super Bowl. How many are going to watch the game today? How many care? Okay, I care. I care. I think it's going to be an incredible game. And in fact, Kansas City Chiefs are only given a 1.5-point spread, so it should be quite a close game. One team is great on offense, one team is great on defense. And if it can't be the Seahawks in there, I still think it'll be a great game today. But each team, let me give you a few facts. Each team gets 108 footballs. Michael, did you want one of those footballs? Pardon me? Well, you go right ahead with Molly. Each team gets 108 footballs, 54 for practice, and 54 are for the actual game. Now, during the Super Bowl, 120 footballs are used. The additional balls are kicker balls and used for the kicking planes. But again, it's supposed to be a classic battle. This is the first Super Bowl game for the Chiefs in 50 years. Last time they made it this far, it was January 11, 1970, when the Chiefs topped the Minnesota Vikings in Super Bowl IV, their first and only, so far, Lombardi Trophy. This is the 49ers. How many can guess? How many appearances in the Super Bowl? Seven. This is their seventh Super Bowl appearance. You were right. They have had six, but now it's the seventh one today. And San Francisco went to five Super Bowls between 81 and 84, or 94 rather, and they won all five of them. And then they returned in 2012 when they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. How many used to love, like I did, watching Joe Montana leading his team all the way down the field, man? I just loved that. It was, I used to watch he used to do that. And Elway used to do that. And you see Russ do that, man. The last couple of minutes lead him all the way down the field. There's nothing more exciting unless it's Tyler Lockett getting the kickoff and taking it all the way down the field. It's been a few years since we've seen that, but man, I'm the kind of guy, I'm standing up and shouting at my television. Whoa! Okay. Y'all looking at me like I'm somebody strange, but I'll bet you, well, maybe you don't do that in your own home. Well, Sherry and I are very passionate football watchers. We worship the Lord first and foremost, but we enjoy football. So, let's see. Super Bowl 54 will mark the culmination of the NFL's 100th season. And the league's first ever Super Bowl also, like I said, featured the Chiefs. Mahomes is the fifth youngest quarterback for the Chiefs to ever start a Super Bowl when he plays the Niners today. Now, as of today, you may or may not have heard your average ticket is about $6,000. On SeatGeek, the current average price of a Super Bowl ticket is over $9,000. Currently, the lowest ticket price that was found was $5,800, while the largest one sold is $46,000. If you're paying $46,000, you've got too much money. Get to sit in Mahomes' lap. There you go. All right. The average Super Bowl attender today from the game are coming from an average of 1,540 miles away to watch the game in Miami's Hard Rock Stadium. It's been there at that stadium before, but they changed the name of the Super Bowl that plays in that stadium each time it plays. The NFL, contrary to understanding, the NFL does not pay its halftime performers, and if you've seen them over many of the years, that's probably wise. When the Super Bowl started, TV ads, 30 seconds, were $40,000 this year, $5.25 million for a 30-second spot. That's about $175,000 per second. By the way, the most expensive one that ever ran was about $12.5 million for a 30-second spot from Chrysler. And that was back in 2011. How many remember it? Yeah, that's why they're in trouble.
Yeah, for K-cars.
Yeah, for K-cars.
That's
right. That's right. All right, the Super Bowl Sunday is the second biggest eating day of the year after Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving. 8 million pounds of guacamole and 14,500 tons of chips will be consumed today. 11.2 million pounds of potato chips. And no, I didn't eat them all. 4.3 million pounds of pretzels. 2.5 million pounds of nuts. It's the biggest pizza sales day all year. Domino's Pizza alone says they expect to sell about 9 million pieces of pizza slices today. And that's a nearly 44% increase over a typical Sunday. The average pizza order is over $26 for the size of their chicken. 1.3 billion chicken wings are eaten on Super Bowl Sunday. 1.3 billion. 120 million pounds of avocado are consumed. 50 million cases of beer, 4,000 tons of popcorn moving right on, 16 million Americans, then after all that, call in sick on Monday. And they don't go to work on Monday. Another 4.5 million show up late. I wonder how they're getting in, you know. It's estimated that Americans spend about $11 billion on game day, 73% of it on food and beverages, about 10 million hours just getting it all ready. But how many of you know, if you're on the Chiefs or if you're on the 49ers, there ain't no slackers on the field today? Leaning in. There ain't no slackers on the field today. Now, I know, that's Tyler Lockett. I just had to throw that in there. But is he slacked back? Sitting down? How about those guys on the line of scrimmage? Are they casual? What are they doing? They're leaning in. Turn to each other and say, let's lean in. You got Lockett running the football. Now we got some more. You got Baldwin making an amazing catch. I used to love watching Baldwin make those catches. And then you've got these other dives for the end zone and the bottom right. I just have to give him his props. He's not my favorite, but Cam Newton is diving for the end zone. But you got to appreciate, man, the all-out effort that they put in. And the problem is, if you're not in the action, you look like this. If you're not in the action, how many know the cold is a lot colder? The rain is a lot drippier. Do they look happy to you?
I wish you would have made Tom Brady's tears bigger.
Oh, this is terrible. How many are glad Tom's not in the Super Bowl this year? The reality is there anybody brave enough to say you really like Tom Brady? I got to give Tom his props. He's an incredible football player. And I will tell you, he is the most successful quarterback in NFL history for going to the Super Bowls. He's been an incredible player. There are questionable things between Belichick and him that have happened, and we wonder about Deflategate and, you know, the footballs that weren't, you know, all that. The crazy thing is he, if he did that, and he denies that he did, and I have no reason not to believe him, right? But if he did that, he didn't need to do that. But regardless, Tom lets the world know he ain't in the action right there. He was benched. And that's what it looks like. And that's what it gets like if we pull ourselves from the action. And if we're not leaning in. Now, Jacob, I'm going to talk about Jacob. So if you want to go to Genesis, I'm going to give you a few different scriptures. I told you Exodus, but I'm going to go to Genesis 25 first. I'm going to actually refer and race through some of the stories about Jacob, because I want to talk about Jacob leaning in. And I think he's a fantastic illustration for us about leaning in. Jacob leans in at birth. At birth, he leans in. You remember the story. Genesis 25, 21 through 26, Rebekah, his mom, Rebekah, Isaac's wife, conceives. But verse 22, the children struggled within her, and she did something that we should all sit up and take notice. She said, if it's all well, why am I like this? I love this. So she went to inquire of the Lord. Now listen, that is one of the best principles you can pick up, Old or New Testament. If I am struggling inside with all this angst, all this anxiousness, all this turmoil, that's not right. And she knew that. And so she said, there's only one place I'm going to find an answer. How many know where your answer is? What's his name?
Jesus.
Come on, shout it out, church. What's his name?
Jesus
is the only place where you're going to get that answer. And if you're here this morning and you've got that kind of turmoil and anxiousness happening in your life, go inquire of the Lord. Now online you'll find our messages, gracechristiancenter.us. In the last few weeks we've been talking about hearing from God, the groan that Jesus hears. And we've talked about hearing from Him. Pastor Sherry's message, I remark on it once again. By the way, you are radiant, just like you talked about this morning, Pastor Sherry. It was a great opening. Thank you so much. That's our radiant First Lady of the church there. Anyway, radiant before the Lord, but letting Jesus know you. Look up her message. Listen to it again if it's been a while since you've listened to it. Keys, principles, points about how to have that kind of intimate relationship with Jesus. But she says, I've got to go inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, when he gets an honest man or woman who come to him and say, Lord God, I need to hear your voice. He will speak to us, sometimes through the word, sometimes through another brother or sister, sometimes through a circumstance. He will talk to us. And in this case, she cried out, and the scripture tells us, the Lord said to her. Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. One shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. The older, she heard God clearly, my voice is still changing, clearly say to her, the older will what? Serve the younger. We get very critical from time to time about Jacob, the deceiver, the supplanter. We get critical of Rebecca for how she sent him in to deceive Isaac for the blessing prayer. But on the other hand, it's an old country song like that, remember that? On the other hand, and then Tevye from Fiddler on a Roof. On the other hand, anyway, okay. On the other hand, she knew the calling of God. She had heard from God. And she was jealous to see that come to pass. Now, how many want to do the will of God? I want to see your hand high. Do you ever take matters into your own hands to work out your own problem? Now, so the Bible does say work out your own salvation. I get that, but it's not talking about that when we're doing this. Sometimes we just say, Lord, back off, I got the wheel. And we end up in the ditch. Come on, who's honest with me? And Jesus, but the Lord is gracious to us, and he says, okay, yeah, you have it. Go ahead, take the wheel, son or daughter. Let's see how you do with your life. But she knew the will of God. Now, I have to assume she also told her husband what God had said to her. She also told Isaac, undoubtedly, what God had spoken to her heart. But Isaac, we'll see in a moment, was living for the flesh and was resistant to the will of God. And God saw to it that he brought his will to pass. But let's not always instantly be critical of Jacob, whose name means deceiver or supplanter. And by the way, how many of you in this room think in that society where the Bible clearly says, honor your father and mother, how many of you think that Jacob would have willingly, without honor, said to his mother face to face, I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do? Are you with me? Anybody with me?
Yeah.
All right. The story is she sent him in to do this and he objected. I know I'm diving around a little bit, but this is really powerful when you consider the text of this, the sacred text, and interpretation of it must be done carefully. But have you noticed in that scripture, familiar with it? If you're not familiar with it, you should read it. It's an incredible section of scripture. But when Jacob objects to going in that fashion to deceive his father, she says, may it be on me. I'm just going to say this one point before we get to it, and I'll leave it here. But how many of you realize that when Jacob went to Uncle Laban's place for 20 years, he never saw his mother again? The Lord knows how to get us where he wants us to be. But when we do take things into our own hands and do it ourselves, it's not always a happy ending. How many want to do God's will God's way? Amen. Let's get on with this. Let's get back on track here. So anyway, so when the days were fulfilled to have her give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. And afterward, his brother came out. His hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. This kid right from birth was leaning forward into life. Wait a minute. I'm coming out. And grabbed his brother's heel. Now, his name means supplanter, heel grabber, catcher, but it also means may God protect. Naming children in the Old Testament especially, were given names that spoke of their character, their destiny, their future. Jacob leans forward to his birth, catches the brother's heel, and he spoke to his mother about his destiny. The younger shall lead the older. Number two, for his birthright. For his birthright. Genesis 25, the section is verses 29 through 34. For his birth, now for his birthright. The birthright, the firstborn of the family, received double blessing, a double portion, right? The younger always served the older. The older was to grow up when dad dies, and then the older son becomes the priest of the family. Represents the family to God and ministers to the family, takes care of mom. The widow is usually how it happened. But the older responsibility was incredible. Verse 34 alone in this scripture says, and Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Esau was out hunting all day long. That's what he did. He was a hairy guy and he was a hunter. Jacob was smooth. And he was in the tents, taking care of the tents. And mom loved Jacob. Dad loved Esau. And that's why when mom sends Jacob in to tell dad he's Esau, how many think that is going to be a challenge to get away with? Dad's nearly blind by this time. But his brother's all hairy and tough. And he's been out in the fields. And he smells like his game. I could make a joke out of that. We won't. Anyway, he smells like what he's hunting all day long. You ever notice that when you turn to the wrong things, you end up smelling like it? So Esau is famished. Now, here's the bottom line to get through this. Let's just cut to the chase. Esau literally despises his birthright. That's what you need to see through this section of scripture. We can say Jacob was a rotten guy and he negotiated for and he got the birthright. Jacob had grown up all his life with this kid and he knew this kid didn't want to do his birthright, had no interest in becoming a priest in that family, had no care for honoring mom and dad. He kept marrying the women that caused grief to his parents. He was doing his own thing. He didn't want to be the priest of the Lord and he despised that birthright. And Jacob honored his parents, and he saw that the birthright was meaningful. And so, he says, and we look at it like he's a scoundrel, and kind of looks that way. Probably was that way. But there's a lot behind it. Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank, arose, and went his way, Esau did. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He said, I'll give you something to eat if you sell me your birthright. Later, Esau says, he stole, cheated me out of my birthright. Church, did he? He made a purposeful decision for the flesh to give away his birthright. Everybody's getting worked on in the scriptures. Everybody in the room getting worked on some by the Holy Spirit?
Yep.
As he makes us what he wants, there's always a lot more than one thing happening at one time. He leaned in for the birthright, and then he leans in for the blessing. Genesis 27 is where you find what I've been referring to. Genesis 27. Isaac's old. Isaac can't see. He favors Esau, who's a great hunter. He wants his food. He's getting old. He says, I want to give you the blessing. He calls Esau in. He says, listen, I want you to go out, Esau. I want you to go find your game. I want you to prepare it because I love your lasagna. Go cook it up. Bring it back. I'll give you the blessing. Wait a minute. When those twins were born, God said what? The younger is going to serve the older. That's the calling of God here. I'm sorry? Just seeing if you're awake, and you are. Thank you very much. What's wrong with you, Kevin? Come on. Anyway, so the younger is going to lead the older. The older is going to serve the younger. Thank you. And in closing, thank God I got that one right. I didn't get it right. Thank you for catching it. So he leans in for the blessing. So mom says, mom overhears the conversation. And she says, look, if you're going to have the birthright, you're going to have to do it this way. And he objects. He goes, I don't want to do it this way. Mom says, judgment is on me if you get found out. And sends him in, and he puts skin on. He puts Esau's clothes on. Smells like Esau. Jacob, or Isaac rather, can't see very well. And Jacob goes in. Wouldn't you be terrified? I mean, let it live, man. I'd be scared to death. But dad is deceived. Nevertheless, God sees to it that the prophetic blessing and anointing comes upon Jacob. Jacob leans in for the blessing. He leans in, kneeling at dad's feet as dad puts his hands on him. Jacob wasn't sitting back going, oh, well, I'll get around to getting the blessing someday. I'll get around to listen to what mom has to say someday. I don't really care. That's Esau. He was passionate about his hunting, but he wasn't passionate about the rest. How about you this morning? Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you leaning in for the blessing? So God sees to it that the blessing comes on Jacob. Now, God pours in and he works things out. God pours in and he works things out. You've already confessed right along with me that the Lord is working on your life in some way. Unless your life is completely perfect, in which case we can all go home now. But we're not. And God's working things out in our lives. We are blessed and being worked out. His blessings in, and he works things out. The grace of God, church, is literally amazing and it's astounding. And the grace of God is life transforming. He knows you, he sees you, he cares for you, he loves you, and he transforms you. And he keeps working until we're just like Jesus. Come on, turn to each other and say, I see Jesus in you. Keep letting him out more. Paul is not the same at the end of his life as he was when he started his walk with Jesus, was he? Most of the New Testament is written to instruct us in how to walk with him and have our lives transformed. John Mark certainly was different at the end of Paul's ministry than he was when he started to help Paul in ministry. And you've got Peter, who started off, man, he was going to show the world that he was a Jesus lover, and he's the one who denied him. But by the end, he was, the tradition says, crucified upside down because he didn't see himself worthy to be crucified in the same fashion as his master Jesus was. God is working on our lives. So what happens is Esau finds out the blessing is now on Jacob. He cries out for a blessing, and Isaac does give him a blessing, but he clearly says, you're going to serve your brother, and he's got the blessing. And so they understand that Esau is furious with Jacob, and he determines he's going to kill him as soon as dad's off the scene. So mom and dad get together. Rebecca, again, hears all this and says, you got to send him away from here. So they send him home to his homeland, where he had first come from, to his uncle Laban's house. How many have ever heard of Laban? Laban is his uncle. Nice guy, that Laban. He goes to Laban. He sees Rebecca. Remember Adam in the Garden of Eden is naming everything. And when the Lord takes a rib and fashions Eve, what are you going to call her? Adam is going to, he looks up and he goes, whoa, man. And she's been called woman ever since. He finds Rebecca. And he absolutely falls. Oh, yeah, Rachel, thank you. What? Yeah. Anyway. No. Yeah. He finds a really cute bride. I'm sorry, I've written it down wrong in my notes. But nevertheless, he finds Rachel. Yes, of course, it's Rachel and Leah. Thank you. You guys keep me on my toes, right? All right. So he finds Rachel, falls head over heels, and he says to Laban, when Laban says, you can't work for me for free. I'm blessed because you're here. What's your wages? He says, I want to work for you for Rachel. And he goes, fine, serve me 7 years. Whew, serve me 7 years for her. This must have been one woe man. Serve 7 years, it's the wedding night, and I just can't figure out how they handled things because he didn't see who came into his wedding tent with him because Laban substitutes Leah, the older daughter, for Rachel. Wakes up in the next morning and he's not blessed. And I'll bet at that moment she wasn't either. But he goes out and he finds Laban. He says, what have you done? And he goes, well, it's not our custom to have the younger marry before the older. So, serve me another 7 years, and I'll get you Rachel. By the way, check your scriptures. He worked 7 years for Leah, and then he worked one more week for his wife Rachel. And continued on the 7 years. So he gave Leah the bride week, and then he gave him Rachel. But it was Laban who changes his wages 10 times. He's a scoundrel. And every time he's trying to say, you're taking advantage of me, and he changes his wages, and he tries to take the blessing away. He says, you can have these sheep and the scrawny ones, and all of a sudden these sheep are all that populate the herds, and they all become Jacob's. And he changes from that and comes to this, and pretty soon God says, 20 years later, pretty soon, 20 years later, God tells Jacob, take your family and go back home. And Laban chases him down. Furious, chases him down. You find in the scripture when he catches up, he goes, what have you done? Don't you know I could have taken your life from you? Don't you know everything you've got is a blessing that came from me? Well, he was blessed because God blessed him regardless of Laban. And thankfully, the night, though Jacob's terrified, the night before Laban comes in to see him, God gives Laban a dream and says, don't you dare touch this guy and say nothing good or bad. And you read the scriptures and it's just powerful when Laban confesses to him, here's what God said. And Jacob finally stands up and he says, God told you not to say a word to me, good or bad. Get out of my face. That's the Living Translation. He's had terror running back home. He's done everything he could with his own genius, and he was undoubtedly a very incredibly wise man. And he's leaning forward into the blessing. Now he's leaning forward to go home. Laban's a mirror for Jacob. If you ever stop long enough, this is just a free principle. I'll throw this in just for free. When somebody really upsets you in your life, normally it's a mirror for you that the Lord is holding up. Ouch. Pastor Kev, you could have talked all day. Let's go back to the Super Bowl. Normally, it's something like that God's after. 20 years of the kind of things that had happened that he had done to others now are happening to him. But let's talk about wrestling with God. He's going home now to face his brother. And he is terrified. You're talking about it was bad with Uncle Laban. Now he's going back to the one who's already declared he's going to kill him when he sees him next. Shattered family. Horrific things. And Jacob's coming back with herds and a dozen kids and wives and their servants. And he's absolutely terrified. And so he sends the herds and the wives and the kids a distance away. And he's left alone. And just in the same way Rebekah said, I got to seek God about this, Jacob starts to seek the Lord. But in this fear that he's facing, life has finally added up to enough that this man humbles himself and he comes down to an end of himself. And he says in Genesis 32, 10 through 12, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies, of all the truth which you've shown your servant. I crossed over this Jordan with my staff. That's all he had. Now I've become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother. He cried out with his honesty. He let God know him. Right, Pastor Sherry? He let God know him. He cried out with his honesty. He said, oh God, I'm terrified. I was nothing when I went out. And now I've got all this stuff. But oh God, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and attack me. And now he's got something bigger than just himself, lest he attack the mothers and the children. And then beautifully, brokenly, I don't think it's manipulatively, he then reminds God of God's calling and promise. When you go to God, pour out your heart and remind him, feel free to, Lord, you've called me your own. I'm saved by your grace. You've got me and I don't have me, but you've got me. Come and show up and take care of me. He says, you've said, Lord, that you will surely treat me well and make my descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude. And God shows up. Now watch. I want to give you a couple of principles here. A theophany in the Old Scripture, or in the Old Testament Scriptures, a theophany is a word that means God shows up in human form. A pre-incarnate experience of God in human form. Most of the time, it's the word that relates to Jesus showing up. And Jesus, literally, it's called Christophanies, and it means pre-incarnate appearances of the Son of God. And this scripture about a man who wrestles with God is undoubtedly Jesus, who shows up early, who comes to a crying, hurting, fearful, terrified man in the midst of his turmoil. It says, I'm right here for you. But it ensues with a wrestling match. I want you to read it afterwards if you don't have it in front of you now. Genesis 32, 24 to 31. Genesis 32, 24 to 31. And he's wrestled all night. A man wrestles with him until the breaking of the day, verse 25. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And the man, or God, Jesus, says, let me go for the day breaks. But he says, I won't let you go until you bless me. Finally, Jacob realizes, I can't beat this one. I can't beat this. Oh God, bless me. You stop and you go, how could God not defeat him? He could have snuffed him out in a heartbeat. Now listen, God could have snuffed him out in a heartbeat. But what God wants is for you to lean in and wrestle with him. Amen. What God wants is for your divine wrestling with him. Oh God, don't let me go. I don't want to let you go. Bless me, God. I need an answer from you. I need you in my life. You're the answer. Oh God, I don't know what to do. Help me, Lord. And the man reaches out and touches his hip. And Jacob is changed forever. I am here to tell you and share with you that Jesus knows exactly where to touch your life and mine to change us forever. Jacob says, tell me your name. And it's so cool, the dialogue, the angel says, why do you need to know my name? Why do you ask about my name? And then he says, I'm going to bless you. Now it's time for me to bless you. And God blesses him and changes his name forever to Israel. To Peniel, the Bible says. You have a scripture here. And Jacob called for the name of the place, Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. And my life is preserved. No one could see the face of God and live. But just as it crossed over Penuel, which though it's spelled differently in the scriptures, it's the same name. Just as he crossed over, the sun rose on him. And he limped on his hip. And the sunshine came up again. And a new day dawned. And when you cry out to God and you wrestle with God, a new day is coming. Come on, church. A new day is coming. And God will meet with you and God will change you and touch you. And you can say you might walk with a limp from then on because God knew right where to touch you. And your life is never the same. His walk was different forever. Forever. And the God I serve knows how to reach down in the darkness of night when I don't get it. And he knows how to reach in and say, come on, I'll wrestle with you. Come on, pour out your heart. Come on, I got you. I got you. And his name that he gave him means you've wrestled with God and prevailed. They had told Jacob, your brother's coming to meet you, because Jacob said, go tell him I'm on the way, just to see if things are any better. And the answer comes back, yeah, he's going to come meet you with 400 soldiers. And he said, I'm goner. If you don't do it, Lord, I'm done. And his brother comes, And he sees his family comes in front of him, and he marches the herds in front of him. And then he sees an older version of his brother limping forward to see him. And they fall on each other's neck with grace and mercy. But Jacob's leaned forward to wrestle with God. Now life changes for him. It's still tough. A little bit of what he reaped, he sowed. His brothers deceive him, or his sons deceive him, that Joseph is dead. He lives without his son for 22 years until he finally hears report that Joseph is alive and he's bringing us to Egypt to keep us all alive. God, Joseph said, has done this. And he finds Joseph and sees him 22 years later. Can you imagine the turmoil of the heartbreak until he sees his son's face again? And he's there for 17 years in the land of Egypt. And then it comes time for him to breathe his last. And I'm going to conclude this message with one of the most powerful scriptures that I know of in the Bible. At the end, he blesses Joseph's sons. Joseph is written up in the Hall of Faith. We all go to the Hall of Faith. Out of everything that had happened in his life, all his travels, all his journeys, all the difficulties he's come through, there's one thing he's known for. One thing. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And that's why he's in the Hall of Faith. Because the deceiver became a blesser. The man who worked things out on his own came to an end of himself, and he worshiped. Oh God, my life, it's in your hands, and I worship you. I worship you, Lord. You are so much bigger than me, and you see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, and I don't know what's next, but oh God, you do, and I worship you, Lord. Oh, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Oh God, you're everything. And he worships. And the final testimony that's known about this man who's now finally become this man of faith is he's leaning upon the top of his staff for the rest of his life. He was a man who needed a staff to walk because God changed him and touched him. And he walked with a limp and he needed a staff. And right there at the end, he's leaning on the staff of where God had changed him. He never forgot what God had done. Now, the staff represented authority. It represented him being the patriarch of his family. It represented so many things. But we're called as believers to remember Jacob from the Hall of Faith because he let God change him forever after a wrestling match. He speaks blessing, he worships, and he never forgets what God did for him. So I'm here to ask you this morning, are you leaning in? Come on, church, are you leaning in? Lord, what's next? What's next? Are you leaning forward to hear? Are you leaning forward to say, oh God, show me what's next? Are you leaning forward when you come to church and say, I want to see Jesus this morning. I want to hear from God this morning. Jesus knows me and he wants to do something remarkable this morning. As we come together as believers and we let the river of God flow, do you jump in the river and do you lean forward and say, thank God there's victory in Jesus. Thank God he knows me. Thank God he sees me. He's my Redeemer, my strength, my life. Jesus, he's everything, and I've come here to see him this morning. Church, we gather to him. There's a verse in Scripture that says, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. I just want to ask, are you leaning in? Are you leaning in? Leaning in to wrestle with God. By the way, this is interesting. Several commentaries, lest you think this is all for younger people, several commentaries agree that Jacob never even went to see his uncle Laban until he was 70 years old. Do you think Jesus knows who you are this morning, no matter what your age is? Lean in. Lean in. He loves you so much, and he knows your next steps. Someone say amen or oh no. Learning. Leaning. Leaning in for Jesus. Would you stand, please? Musicians, would you come? I don't know why difficult things happen in life, but they do. Keep leaning in. He sees you and he knows you. Father, I pray, even as we respond to you this morning, we choose, not just pray, but we choose to lean in to you. Every eye closed. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, if there's some area of your life that you know you haven't been leaning in and you need to, would you raise your hand, please? Yeah. All right. I believe the Lord knows his people and is talking to the right group this morning. Raise your hands, everybody. Lord Jesus, I repent when I don't lean in. Wash me by your blood. I receive your grace and forgiveness. And I choose now to lean in. Come on, just lean forward as you do that. I choose now to lean in to you. Lord, bless your people today. Strengthen and speak to them. And Lord, as we go forth from this place, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak and apply and make us, Lord, just exactly who you want us to be. We lean into you. And we are so grateful to you. And Lord, we thank you that by your grace, we have victory in Jesus. Amen. Raise your hands for the blessing, please. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I know what I'm doing, God says. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Thank you, Lord. We bless your people now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be released into the joy of the Lord.